Welcome back to a new episode of the Hands-On Business Podcast. For those of you who are regular listeners, you know what it's all about. For those of you who are joining for the first time, this is a podcast which focuses on small to medium-sized businesses, giving you tips, tricks on how to grow your business and all aspects of business management leadership. More importantly, this is a podcast which is by business leaders for business leaders. So we decide and go with topics that, you know, we've been asked about, but actually that we've got practical experience of actually working with and implementing. So this is not a theoretical podcast. This is a podcast about actionable takeaways. So yeah, thanks for joining me. And today, what we're going to talk about is one of my favorite topics in sales, and a topic that lots of salespeople love to hate, and that's objections. And I've called it obliterating objections like a ninja. And the reason why I've called it obliterating objections is because I see lots of people talk about handling objections, dealing with objections. Handling is something that you do with fine china. What I want to do is remove that objection so that you never have to think about it again. And there's some real good takeaways in here as to why you should not be worried about objections. And if you follow the processes that I'm going to give you in the next 15 minutes, then firstly, you'll understand why you shouldn't be worried about them. Secondly, you'll know how to handle them. So it's a business fight edition of the podcast, because the podcast is often, you know, an interview between me, prominent business leader, and then occasionally I do like a short 15 minute snippet called Business Bites, which is just yours truly talking and opining on things that I think that I have knowledge about. So today it's going to be about obliterating objections like a ninja. So one of my favorite topics when it comes to sales is, how do you deal with objections? Why? Because I've found that most people get very nervous or worried when an objection to their product or service is mentioned. And it doesn't matter how good your product is or how fantastic your service is, there are people who are going to object to it. And therefore, I feel it's my civic duty to look at objections from a slightly different perspective and help people to understand how they can turn those objectives into a strength. So let's start with why objections should be nothing to be afraid of. For me, an objection is actually an exciting opportunity, because we all know that if someone is trying to sell us something and we aren't really interested, we tend to get rid of them very quickly, and we don't spend much time listening to what they're saying, and therefore we don't give them any specific objections. We'll say things like, yeah, I'm not really interested, or not right now, or no thanks, and you just move on and move away from them. You don't make specific objections because you've not been listening to what they've been saying necessarily. Also, when we aren't interested, and let's be honest, you know, we've all done it, we normally fob them off right at the beginning before they've even really started and before any in-depth discussion about the product or the service on offer have actually really begun, you know. And hence, when someone gives an objection and it's based on what you've been discussing and it's at the end of a conversation or at the end of a specific topic, it may well signify that they're really very interested, but just not convinced at that specific time. Now, in my humble opinion, all an objection actually is an explicit and an explicit expression by the buyer that there is a gap between the current situation and what needs to be discussed and certified before they get to the ideal situation, which makes them buy from you. So it's just really a gap between what's the current situation, the ideal situation, and in that middle is that you have to discuss some things and actually get them there. So in other words, it's a clear signal that you have more work to do in the selling process. Now, because at that stage, you really haven't made your value proposition to the buyer as powerfully or as effectively as required. Now, rarely does anyone purchase a high value item without asking questions. You know that, you know, you're not going to go in and buy a car and just, even if you've done loads of research on that car and it's going to cost you 30, 40, 50,000 pounds, you're just going to buy it. You're going to ask them loads of questions. Even when you're sold on that particular car and you know you want to buy it, you're going to ask questions. So especially internal questions such as, and when I say internal, I'm talking about, i.e. questions to yourself, am I making the right decision? Is this right for me? Is it right for the company? Is it value for money? And this is evidenced by the fact that statistics show that the successful sales presentation, those that end in a sale, have 58% more objections then those presentations are unsuccessful. Let me read that again. Successful sales presentations, those that end in sales, have 58% more objections than those presentations that are unsuccessful. Most qualified prospects raise no objections to a proposal in which they have no interest. That's a CPA report on handling objections. So just let that settle into your mind for a bit. Basically, what you're saying is, if you've qualified a lead and a prospect, so it's a good lead, it's a strong lead, then if they're raising no objections, it tends to mean that they have no interest in what you're talking about. But if they are raising objections, the majority of people who raise objections when you've got a qualified lead, it leads to a sale. Think about that when you're worried about objections. I think that's a really important point. So now we know that we should really start to embrace objections. Let's look at some of the different methods of overcoming objections. But whatever model you've used and whatever model you've seen, you will find that every single version really focuses on making sure that, number one, you listen to what the customer is saying. May seem obvious, but we all know that not everyone does it. Number two, you understand what the customer means before you start to respond. That's very important. And number three, once you've clarified with the customer that you have a common understanding, then you respond. And that response is about the obliteration, which is what I call it, of objections. Because I don't really believe that, you know, lots of people call it managing objections or handling objections. You handle fine china. We want to knock them out of the park so they don't come back to a later date. Now, if you do these three things, which is the key things in objection or obliterating objections, this will allow you to ensure there's no longer a gap between the current state and then the ideal state of them buying from you. Now, as I said, there are many different ways to deal with objections, and the AMOA system used to be my go-to, probably because it was the first one I was taught on my very, very first training course back in 1996, and hence I have an affection for it, but also because it works. And AMOA, I'll just tell you what it stands for. A is acknowledging the objection, M is making that objection specific, O is then overcoming it, and A is then gaining agreement before you move on. Now, as I said, it works, and I really love it because I've had it for a long period of time. However, during my research, I also came across lots of other methodologies, and one which I really liked and loved for its simplicity was called the 3F method, i.e. feel, felt, found. And, you know, the feel part of that is, you know, for example, you know what? I understand how you feel. So it's, again, you're qualifying it, you're making sure that you're acknowledging it and people know that you've listened to what they're saying. Then you go on to the felt. Oh, well, interesting you say that, because others felt the same way. So you're getting on their level. You're saying that, actually, yes, I understand it. It's not just you who's got it. So I am actually being empathetic. And then found. So here's what I found. And then you're obviously then trying to deal with that specific objection. So remember, though, it can't be robotic. It's a formula, but you need to phrase it in your own words, e.g., for feel, I understand your concern. You know, if I were in your shoes, you know, I would have similar concerns as well. Or I could see where you're coming from. I understand. So you always want to be looking at ensuring that you put in your own words. Feel is about the empathy. Felt is really talking about you're not alone. I and others are with you. And found is effectively the conclusion or the solution. So a simple example, you know, if I'm talking to my friend and I'm trying to persuade them to take some daily vitamins to supplement their diet, for example, their objection is, I never take vitamins. I don't believe in them. It's just a con to make loads of money. So if you're using the feel, felt, found process, you say, you know, the feel bit, you know what? I can see where you're coming from because, then moving on to the felt, I used to think the same thing. You know, I don't take vitamins, don't need them because I get enough nutrition from my food. So that's the, you know, you're not alone bit. And then moving on to the found, what I realized was that there are many types of vitamins. And when you take the right ones, I found that every morning I actually have more energy, I'm more productive, and my mind is clearer. I also seem to get less sick by just taking a couple every day. Now, that's just one example. There's loads of examples of objections that I could pick, but this was one I was actually recently discussing you know, because with all the COVID and all the lockdowns that have happened, then there was a lack of availability of vitamin D. So this is a very topical one. So that's a few tips just on, you know, looking at objections and different ways that you can handle them. However, based on my years in sales and my love of objections, I actually decided to create my own method. So let's get into, and you know that obviously I have the sales acceleration formula and the sales accelerator process. So let's just have a quick look at that one, because what I've done is taken some of these other elements, put them into mine, and created my own patented or copyrighted, my own copyrighted process. So I hope you know by now, I'm never one to try and overcomplicate things. I try and make things as simple as possible. And everything that I'm doing is to try and accelerate the sales process and the sales process. So what I've done is create a simple mnemonic, i.e. SMASH, S-M-A-S-H, which will enable you to easily remember it, I hope. You'll easily remember the steps, but it'll also effectively help you obliterate objections. As I said, it's not about handling, in my opinion. It's about how do you get rid of that objection so that once and for all, it's gone and you can move from the current state of them not being 100% ready to buy from you to the ideal state. You've dealt with all of those objections, you've obliterated objections, and therefore there's no longer a gap between that current state and that ideal state. So let's go through it, only in brief overview, because if you want the in-depth breakdown with examples, I'm afraid that you're going to need to wait for my course, because this is just a short podcast to introduce you into obliterating objections. You know, and as they say, always leave them asking for more, I believe is what they say. So I'm just going to give you a quick overview. So if you remember what I said, is it SMASH? So the first one is S. S is for silence. Remember, I said that the first step in any of the objection handling models is listening. Well, you need to be silent to listen. So be quiet and let the customer talk. Don't jump in. Don't assume. Don't think they're going to say something. Let them finish. Once they've finished talking, then you move on to the next step, which is the M, which is make specific. Because once you've listened, you've understood, you've been quiet, which is respectful, so people actually gravitate towards someone who's listening to what they're actually saying. You've then made specific because you've really listened to what they've been saying. You want to ensure that you really understand the objection. And the example that I often give, more often than not give, is when people are talking to you and they say, oh, it's too expensive. You know, and they've obviously talked a lot about different things. And then, you know, making specific, it's about, well, it's expensive compared to what? You know, what are you comparing it to? How are you defining that? Are you talking about the cost price of it? Are you talking about the price across a period of time, etc., the lifetime price of that product? You want to really make it specific before you start launching into anything that resembles an answer or anything that resembles you trying to discuss that specific topic. So that's really key. So let's just remember, you're silent, you're listening, you're then making specific, and then you move on to the A, which is obviously answering the objection with an effective solution. Quite simple. I don't think you need to go into that. I mean, we're going to go, you know, as I said on my course, I'll go into real in-depth examples and how you do it and the different types of answering and the different types of objections, etc. So that's the S, the M, and the A. And then you move on to the second S, which is getting sign-off, i.e. confirming that you've removed the gap, as we discussed, between the current state, as it was at the beginning of the objection, and the ideal state, which is them buying from you, as if this is obviously the whole point of trying to obliterate objections. And the point of this podcast is getting you from one state to another and to remove that fear that people have when an objection is raised. So that then takes me onto the last letter of the mnemonic, which is H. And it's actually something which I think is critical in obliterating objections, but I don't think many people really consider it. And that is H for help, i.e. checking once you've actually gone through that process, that you've obviously listened to your customer, you then made it very specific, so you know that you're going to then answer with the A, the right objection, and then you're going to get a sign off to make sure that you've confirmed that you've removed that gap and you are now on the same page in the ideal state, i.e. they're ready to buy from you. The help is checking if there is anything that you can do to help implementing the agreed solution. Because hopefully, if you got to the ideal state, you've now agreed that this is what you're going to do, this is how you're going to move forward, and that's yet a whole other area. But once you've done that, you then need to make sure that that implementation is successful. Because what lots of people do when they have an objection and they go through any process, they then get to the end of it and think, yeah, done that, then I'm going to buy. And if you don't do it correctly, then actually you're going to find more objections. And the objections are going to come back up, and it's, well, you didn't achieve what you said you were going to do. We talked about price, and actually the pricing methodology isn't as I'd anticipate. So you want to make sure that you've covered off those objections, and then you've made sure that you implement the solution that both of you have agreed correctly. And I think this is really important because it further helps, as I said, obliterate that objection, because the customer thinks all queries are answered. And there is even further help and support around that specific topic, which was giving them the gap between where they were and where you wanted them to be. So that's really a whistle-stop tour through obliterating objections. And hopefully you're going to find that if you now start looking at objections, firstly, as a positive and an indicator that they're interested in your product, and you go through, you know, any one of the methodologies that I've mentioned, whether it's a MOA, whether it's the 3F method, or whether it's my own specific SMASH method, and obviously I'd recommend the SMASH method because it's mine, then you'll find if you follow that process and you do more investigation and more work into how you obliterate objections, you'll all of a sudden now find that when you go into a sales call and objections are thrown at you, you actually welcome them like I do. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time. So there you have it, obliterating objections like a ninja. I'm hoping that you enjoyed the podcast, and I hope that you've got some takeaways. You know, the thing that I always find that is quite surprising to people is about reframing it. And when I explain the fact that there's evidence that says that 58% more objections occur in a presentation which is successful with a qualified lead rather than those that aren't, and i.e. that in a call that is not going to be successful, and they're not interested in, you don't get any objections. I think that changes the paradigm slightly, and people start thinking, oh, actually, so an objection is a good thing. So hopefully you took that out of it. Hopefully you took out some examples of the 3Fs, the EMOA, the SMASH more specifically, and that you're going to start to find and implement those. And watch out for my actual course on obliterating objections, which will go into SMASH in significantly more detail with more examples. But hopefully you found that really useful. If you have, please rate the podcast, and if you haven't, as you know the rest, keep it to yourself. Also, make sure you look out for the links in the podcast description. We've now got show notes on the site at www.thesalesaccelerationformula.com. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. You can subscribe, please, to the YouTube channel, and do all of those good things to keep listening to the content if you loved it. So thank you very much for listening. Keep listening. Look out for the next episode, and keep growing.